they set a course back up the Negro, then turned into a small river, the Agape, which flowed northwest to the lands where the Zante had last been seen. It was a beautiful river. They travelled between small islands where clumps of white egrets roosted, or clouds of tiny pearl-grey bats flew up from the fallen logs. What amazed Maya was how varied the landscape was. Sometimes they sailed through dark, silent jungle where all the animals were out of sight in the topmost branches. Sometimes the river wound through gentle countryside, almost like England, where swamp deer grazed in grassy clearings. Once they passed into a patch of scrubland and saw a range of bare brown hills in the distance before they plunged back into the rainforest again. "If this is the green hell of the Amazon, then hell is where I belong," said Maya. She was completely happy. When she took the bandage off her leg, she found a mulch of some strange green mould, which Finn had put there, and beneath it a wound which was almost healed. "You really ought to be a doctor," she said, "or a witch doctor, perhaps." "It's often the same thing," smiled Finn. Then she cut the bottom off a pair of Finn's trousers and borrowed one of his shirts and that Finn had pilfered, a roll cotton meant for the Indians, from which she'd made a kind of sarong, for when she was in the water and the nightdress she had escaped in had been torn up for cleaning rags. Everything she owned had been destroyed in that fire, and she missed nothing except her toothbrush. Scrubbing one's teeth with twigs was not the same. She trusted Finn completely. If he said a pool was safe to swim in, she dived in without a second's thought, and the dreaded piranha fish did not tear at her flesh, nor did the caiman come at her with snapping jaws. If he told her the mushroom was safe to eat, she ate it. "My father had this thing he used to say to me," she told Finn. "It was in Latin, carpe diem, seize the day. Get the best out of it, take hold of it and live it as hard as you can." She pushed back her hair. "After he died and my mother, I couldn't do it very well. There was never seemed to be a day I wanted to seize at all much, but here, yes, some places are ripe for one. Your mother was a singer, wasn't she?" "Yes, but she never made a fuss about it. I never remember her saving her voice for a performance or gargling with eggs and all that sort of stuff. She just sang in the house, in the garden, everywhere." "Everyone says you ought to get your voice trained," he said, and frowned, because if she had a future as a singer, perhaps she shouldn't be going off up the Amazon. She shook her head. "I'm all right like this. But won't you miss the music?" "There's always music. You just have to open your mouth." They'd stopped to make a fire in a little bay and cook fish that they'd caught earlier. "You had good parents," said Finn. "So did you." She steadied the pan on the flames and poured in the oil. "Do you think there'll be someone in the Zante who'll remember your mother?" Finn blew on the embers. "Don't know." "We may not find the Zante," he warned her. Maya shrugged. "Doesn't matter, but if we do, will they accept me? I don't have any Indian blood." "If they don't, we won't stay. I wouldn't let anything happen to you. I've got my gun." "I'm not scared," said Maya. And she wasn't. She'd been scared of the nastiness of the twins and of being shut up in the Carter's bungalow, but she wasn't scared of travelling through unknown lands with a boy hardly older than herself. She thought perhaps she wouldn't be scared of anything ever again if she was with Finn. They did not hurry. Their route led to the west and the forests of Japura, and each night Finn laid out such maps that he had and notes his father had given him. One thing stood out. A fork in the river was a small island with a jacaranda tree standing between the two tall kuma palms. If they found this marker, they were in Zante country, but how far or how near was it, they did not know. All the same, they stopped again and again. Finn wanted to collect plants he knew he could sell, and he was teaching Maya about them. He climbed on the top of the leaf canopy and came back with clusters of yellow fruits, which could be boiled up to treat skin diseases. He found a tree whose leaves were made into an infusion to help people with kidney complaints. He brought back silvery fern to rub into aching muscles. Most of the plants had Indian names, but as they sorted into specimens and put them out to dry and store and to label, Maya learnt them quickly. "You'd be amazed how many people would give for these in the town," said Finn. But nothing he collected was for sale. He restocked his own medicine chest also, and every day he bullied Maya about taking her quinine pills. "Only idiots get malaria in the dry season," he said. "I think I ought to cut my hair off," said Maya one morning as she tore yet another tooth out of Finn's comb. "No, that's a bad idea." Maya looked up in surprise. "But you wanted Clovis to cut his hair. That's different." They talked of Clovis often, and it was Finn now who wondered if they had been fair to him. "He's either shut up in that awful place or he's confessed and been thrown out." Well, at least he's in England, and that's what he wanted. But she could see that to Finn, who was afraid of nothing else, Westwood was still an absolute dread. And if he'd been thrown out, it will all start again. The crows will come back looking for me. "Well, they won't find us here, will they?" said Maya. They were anchored now between two islands in a kind of cave made of overhanging branches of a pono tree. A pair of otters had been diving around the boat and the frogs set up their evening croaking. It had been a magical day. They had seen a family of terrapins sunning themselves and a pair of harpy eagles. There'd been a gentle flowing breeze to help them, and the rain that sometimes comes down in the dry seasons had held off. "You know, you said you used to wake up every morning in the lagoon when your father was alive." "Here I am, where I want to be. Well, that's how I feel when I wake up on the Arabella." Maya did not care whether they found the Zante or not. It was not about arriving for her. It was about the journey. Even the sadness about Minty deserting her had gone. For Finn, who had almost kidnapped her, there were moments of anxiety. He should have told someone that Maya was safe instead of taking her away without a word. But gradually he stopped worrying about that and gave himself up to the journey. And if Maya knew deep down that she would not be allowed to sail away forever up the rivers of the Amazon, she managed to forget that too. She sang as she worked, and when Finn whistled "Blow the Wind Southerly," she smiled, because she had been wrong to be cross with the wind. The wind had brought him back, and she was content. And when Finn complained at the end of the day that they had not come far enough, she said, "What does it matter? We've got all the time in the world," which is not always a clever thing to say.